Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Well, happy Tuesday, and it's not every day you consider that 15,000 nurses could leave the job, and I think that's a good place to start today, because I've covered nurses strikes in this town before, but we are in such a different situation now post-pandemic that I think a lot of union nurses have a legitimate gripe as to how their working conditions. And I think, Jordana, in this country, I think we are too conditioned to say, well, this is a greedy move by a union saying they just want more money. And in this situation, I think nurses, if you can't stick up for nurses and what they do, I don't know. I don't see how any other way to look at this. That this is a situation where these are people who have worked day in and day out during extremely difficult times, as many of us have. But I mean, burnout is real. That's a real situation, and I think we're too quick to demonize unions when they say we want more money, specifically in this case with nurses.
But it's not just money. They have issues with diversity, equity, inclusion, safety, security, recruitment, and retention. And these are people who went to work when there was a pandemic and they didn't know that there was going to be a vaccine coming. And they stood by the bedside of people who died from a strange disease that they thought they could be getting next, or slept in their garages because they didn't want to bring it home to their families. And this is not just about money. Although, if it were for me, I would say give them all the money. And I have a unique perspective on this, as for the last 2 years, I've been dealing with nurses almost on a daily basis. You know, if I'm not hospitalized or currently in treatment, I'm calling in to, give results or something like that. So I deal with these people, with nurses on a daily basis. And what they want here is some respect. What they want is safer working conditions. They want better wages, but they want to address short staffing. You know, these nurses, some of them work 12-hour shifts, and then they're asked to work more than that. And that's at the Mayo Clinic. I can't imagine what's happening in some of these urban hospitals that don't get the attention that the Mayo Clinic gets. So I have such empathy for these nurses who were so personally kind to me when I know they would rather be home with their families, who stayed with me when I was having hallucinations and I needed two nurses one day, one night, to sit in my room and make sure I didn't hurt myself. So we need to have empathy for these nurses, and we need to give them what they want. And, you know, people are saying, look at the CEO's houses. Look, just drive by the house of a CEO of a healthcare company and drive by the house of a nurse, and they'll tell you that it's not equitable. And I believe, I'm a capitalist, I believe people should make money.
Sure.
But there should be more equity if we're not having enough nurses to staff the hospitals.
Well, I mean, that you can make that argument with any profession.
Sure.
About how
and I would.
The pay difference between, the CEOs and the lower level workers. But if you look at, it's a glaring example of how so many problems with healthcare in this country, the prices that patients pay, the prices that people pay, and where's that money going, and how much are nurses actually getting? Because you mentioned it, nurses are on the front line here. I mean, obviously doctors are doctors. They've gone to school to learn what they know, and it's obviously a very difficult position to be in to be a doctor. They're compensated well for that, but it's the nurses who day to day are with patients. And I'll just tell you this story. My ex-wife is a nurse. She's an emergency room nurse. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic started, you mentioned that. Just think back. Now, don't look at your lens how we view it today. Think about when the pandemic first hit and we didn't know what it was about. my ex-wife had to go into work every day, not knowing how contagious COVID was. I just assumed she was going to get it. So we took our two daughters and had them go stay with in-laws for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I didn't see my daughters for 6 weeks because my schedule didn't allow me to be there full time, and we didn't want them exposed to my ex-wife who was coming home, possibly with COVID. Now, thankfully, she didn't get it, but that's the situation that they were working through. And I can totally understand if so many nurses said, you know what, I'm just done with it. Not, it might have nothing to do with pay, how much you're making. It's like this has been hell on earth working in these conditions for the last 2 years, and I'm done. And we've talked about it with policing. If we want good people to be police officers in this city and around the country, we need to incentivize it. And the same goes to nurses. If you want nurses to work on the job, feel safe and secure, you got to pay them a decent wage. You have to make sure that their situation, that they feel empowered to come to work, feel like their hospital, their healthcare company has their back. And I think that's where we're seeing the breaking point here.
We have Graham in Somerset who's calling in. Graham, what, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, hi. Hi there. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Graham.
My ex-wife's a nurse as well, and she actually had the first Minnesota case, one of her patients. These nurses, some of them work so hard because of it's just their innate love for their job that they can't even go to the bathroom, you know. And that's, if you think about that, they're working so hard just to keep us all going.
Yes,
and they're not given the credence. They're totally invaluable, and they should be given the right treatment by these CEOs. These CEOs are a laughingstock. Like you say, they've got two or three beautiful homes here and there around the country. They don't understand what it is to have to do without, and they want these nurses just to be their guinea pigs on the wheel, just to keep their big mansions afloat.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Graham.
By the way, 651-461-9226. Lots of texts coming in, and this is one I want to take issue with right now. Here's a text. Compare what nurses have gone through to teachers who already get 3 months off in the summer and frequent breaks during the work year, and everyone feels sorry for them. See, we pick and choose which unions we like. You know, and the demonization of teachers, too, that one frustrates me. Because
me, too.
I talked to someone over the weekend and said, wow, these teachers, you know, the teachers union, this pandemic was great for them. They said they got to work at home.
Please.
I mean, are you kidding me? Have you talked to any teacher who said who described what it was like to work during the pandemic? You think they didn't want to be with their students, that they wanted to, teach from home because that was so easy
and that
to
it was
do.
Easier?
Easy to do.
It wasn't
Zoom.
Easier.
Please.
They had to recreate the wheel with these lesson plans and doing it remotely and trying to keep the kids engaged. Absolutely not. And also, we should pay our teachers more.
Right.
The inequity in our, this is just, this nurse's strike just shines a light again on the inequity in the country. And I know we keep track of my medical bills. I've had over $1 million. It sickens me and Mark both. And, you know, we have good health insurance, thank God, because of our union. But I get it. Like, there's $2,000 night hospital stays that I've been there for 30 nights because I've been so sick. So, you know, these nurses are watching out for us. We're with me 24/7. You know, I just, I support our nurses. And if this is what they need to do, we all need to get behind them. So let's take a quick break, but we'll continue the discussion, right, Adam? 651-461-9226. Tim, we see your call. We will take your texts and your calls next on CCO.
I think we need to be more sympathetic to the CEOs here.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I mean, they're doing tough work, too. You know, you don't get to be a CEO for no reason.
I get it. But and that's fine, and people should get paid, but at some point, when you have people striking, when you have a broken healthcare system, I think the CEOs should take personally a step back.
Yeah.
You know, we have this activism, capitalism now.
Right.
Maybe you should advocate for your employees.
Right.
If they're having trouble, I mean, how hard would it be to make a couple million dollar donation to the cause?
Yeah.
We actually, the nurses just had a press conference within the last hour, and we see your calls, Patty, Tim, Karen, Debbie, we see you, but we want to hear a little bit from Brianna, who's an ICU nurse at North Memorial, just speaking at the press conference this last hour.
Nurses do not take going on strike lightly. We want to be in our hospitals taking care of our patients, not walking a picket line, but enough is enough. We cannot continue to be treated the way we have been by our employers any longer. There is a saying by the nurses at North, a nurse is a nurse is a nurse. This is how nurses at the bedside have been thought of and treated by upper management, leadership, and board members for as long as I can remember. There is no value placed on our years of service, our specialties, or our expertise. North has a large portion of our staff doing rotating shifts at 50%, meaning one may work overnight one day, then within 24 hours be back to day shift. To North, we are just nurses. They do not value us as mothers, fathers, family members, or people. There are many studies related to shift work and the detriment it causes those that do it. When our negotiating team brought forward these concerns and asked for a decreased ratio of rotating percentages, we were met with a stonewall. This is just one of many examples of how little our employer truly cares about its nurses, and one of many reasons I voted yes to authorize a strike.
And you know,
that was Brianna.
That was Brianna. Mm-hmm. And people argue, well, you know, they're taking advantage right now because, you know, unions are increasing in strength. Now, you're damn right they're taking advantage of it, though.
And they should.
Because, you know, mm-hmm. like the job market is just like a housing market. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a seller's market, sometimes it's a buyer's market. There are certain times when companies have all the power and they can dictate what they want. We're in a time where the workers now can dictate what they want. Mm-hmm. And good on them. And I think you have to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Let's go to some of these calls, okay? Patty's in Apple Valley. Patty, jump in here. Are you a nurse?
No, I am not. No. But first of all, I have to agree 100% plus with what both of you have said since you came on to talk about this very important and sensitive subject with our nurses. I for a long time believe that the healthcare system has been broken and definitely needs firsthand care at working at fixing some of these things. I have so much, I believe and care so much for our nurses mm-hmm. and what they do every day to help all of us. And during COVID, I don't think I missed, and we still are in COVID, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've missed a day of praying for them. And I did hear what the wonderful short speech that Brianna gave, and my goodness, I fully believe that they do need to be looked at so seriously. I can't imagine our life without nurses. I have never gone through anything, Jordana, that you have, and you are in prayers also.
Thank
and
you.
So I believe fully with all my heart, benefits, pay, increases, I think, are more than needed. And I obviously, we don't want them to go on strike, but if that's what it takes, you know, for them to hear what these wonderful people do every day, I think that they are well within their right to do so, and I obviously hope something does come of this. And so I just wanted to
thank you, Patty.
Call and let you know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patty.
Oh.
That was Patty and Apple.
We just have to move on. We have a couple of other callers, but Patty, thank you for all your prayers and for me personally. I appreciate you.
Tim is in Nisswa. Let's go to Tim in Nisswa. Tim, thanks for calling. This is an issue. I mean, do we pick and choose, do you think, which unions we support?
I think so very much, and I appreciate what you guys have said and the stance you've taken today. I think we as a society are becoming much more of a me society yep. instead of a we society.
Mm-hmm. Got that right.
And labor and industry statistics show that service professions are suffering because of it. Many of our youth are not even looking at these types of careers. Back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, one of the things that drew people to these professions was the quality of the benefits. You knew you were never going to get wealthy doing these jobs, but you knew that you were going to be taken care of by your employer. And as they have looked at cutting costs, it isn't just salaries. You heard her mentioning terms and conditions of employment, such as shift work, time off, medical benefits, including mental health benefits, and so on and so forth. So many of these service workers, their one time every 2 years or 3 years, depending on when their contract comes due, their one time to have a voice in their terms and conditions of employment is during contract negotiations. And I think it's the same for peace officers, for teachers, for nurses, anyone in a service profession. You have to be able to take advantage of that when that window opens to seek to help the people that you serve and help yourself. As a 35-year teacher, I used to say, what's good for students and fair for teachers.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, good call. Good call. Can we sneak another one in?
Absolutely,
I think Karen's calling all the way in from Tucson, Arizona. Karen, jump in here. Are you a nurse?
No, I'm not a nurse, but I worked in healthcare for 40 years. I just feel that we also forget about the nurses' aides that make $15 an hour.
Good
that
point. Good
all
point.
The, yes. all the ugly work for the nurses, and I believe the nurses should be paid well, don't get me wrong, and I respect them and I love them, but these other people, the housekeepers that go and clean those rooms that are full of COVID patients, and the nurses' aides that are in there taking care of all their other stuff that they have to do, I think we forget about them, and they make dirt for money. Okay, they make a fraction of what the nurses do. And again, I don't begrudge the nurses anything. I just think we forget about these other people. Even the front desk staff that that welcomes patients into the hospital, they're sitting there exposed and making $12 an hour. Okay, so I have a problem with that.
Karen, good call. Yeah. Thank you so much. Right. And you're right. I'm glad she brought that up, 100%.
Yep. And let's not forget nurses' safety and their quality of life, their working conditions is also a safety issue for patients, too. Because we don't want nurses who have been overworked, you know, the opportunity for mistakes creep in. You're right.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We might revisit this. We got a lot of text coming in. We appreciate it. But we're shifting gears. Liz Cheney is going to lose today. I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion in Wyoming. But some Minnesotans, some conservative Minnesotans, Republicans, went to Wyoming to try to support Liz Cheney and change some minds. We'll hear from one of those Minnesotans next. We've been hearing about it on the news. Liz Cheney, who just a few years ago was about the most conservative, one of the most conservative members of the U.S. House of Representatives, well, she is probably going to lose today in a primary because
that upsets me.
Because she was, because of her stance. Shockingly to, you know, look into January 6th and see if, you know, look into that insurrection. But the Trump group.
Well, Adam, let's be clear, because of her stance on the truth, because she wanted to investigate a wrongdoing and overthrowing of our democracy. Doesn't matter that she's a Republican. She was searching for the truth, and she still is.
Right.
And she has been so damaged because of it. And people have turned against her, and there have been death threats on her life. And she... It's just, it's devastating the way she has been treated by party and by her former supporters just because she wanted to get to the truth.
We heard it last week. Representative Dean Phillips, our congressman, said encouraging Democrats to switch parties and vote for Liz Cheney in today's primary in Wyoming. He's not the only one. Many Minnesotans who are part of a group called Principles First.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Went out to Wyoming to support Liz Cheney and door knock for her, and Polly Calhoun is one of them. She joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Polly, thank you so much for the time. First of all, explain to us what Principles First Minnesota is.
Hi, sure. Principles First of Minnesota is a group of mostly former Republicans, conservatives, and moderate Democrats, and a lot of independents who, especially over the last 5-6 years, have just become sick of it, basically, and miss having principles running our politics and having standards in our society.
So, Polly, what did you organize, and how did you get people from Minnesota to care enough about this Wyoming election and actually go there and door knock for Liz Cheney?
Well, like you said, a lot of people have turned on her. And,
yes,
you know, it's simply the wrong thing to do. She has been completely consistent, and nothing has changed. So I don't know why so many of her supporters have. With Principles First, you know, using principles, and it's a matter of doing the right thing. Your principles should guide you always to do the right thing. And the congresswoman has been sticking her neck out. She's essentially sacrificing her entire political career to stand for the truth and to fight for justice for what happened on January 6, 2021. And those of us with Principles First from around the country, and Principles First in Minnesota, believe that she deserves to have people come and actually fight for her. And so we did.
We're talking to Polly Calhoun, a member of Principles First Minnesota, part of a contingent of Minnesotans who went out to Wyoming to door knock. Polly, I was drawn to this week, and I saw some tweets, and I saw some of your tweets, and also some reaction from people in Wyoming, hardcore conservatives who are obviously not going to vote for Liz Cheney today, and they weren't exactly welcoming of you. Tell us how you were received in Wyoming when you were out there.
Well, you know, that's an important thing to draw attention to. There's Twitter world, and then there's the real world.
Exactly.
I did. You know, you're right. I had some pretty upset responses from anti-Cheney people, but none of us had any bad responses from voters there in real life. You know, we had some people that were like, nope, she's a traitor, and they were saying that. But even people that had Hageman signs on the front lawn would talk to us, and, you know, we are more interested in knowing what people think. You know, we happen to think that we need to have more conversations and less arguments anyways. So, you know, hearing where people are at is a lot more useful than telling them how to vote, telling them that they're wrong. And we really had no one got threatened. No one got run out of the state. You know, no one got run off someone's lawn with a shotgun. But, you know, there were some people that were just very clearly opposed to Cheney, and she's a carpetbagger, and she may as well be a Democrat now, and other such nonsense, but nothing so scary as you'd see on Twitter.
We're speaking with Polly Calhoun from Principles First Minnesota, joining us on the John Schuster Group Coldwell Banker Hotline. Polly and her group went to Wyoming to door knock for Liz Cheney. And I'm glad you didn't get run off anyone's lawn. You didn't get yelled at. Thank God you were safe and you felt safe. But I love the part where you said you're more interested in listening. Mm-hmm. And that's the sentiment that we need in this country. Like, you're on the ground doing it, so I really appreciate your group, and I appreciate you saying that. But Polly, tell us something that maybe you learned. Tell us, did anything change the mind of your group that people were saying, or do you feel like you changed anybody else's mind?
Well, I will say one thing that people learn on the ground when you're there is, and this is perhaps less about opinion, more about understanding situations. You look at some of these towns, even Cheyenne, and I will admit I haven't spent a lot of time in my life in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We have this in Minnesota too. There are towns that are just pretty much non-exist anymore. You know, a lot of people have essentially had their lives taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's jobs, whether that's, you know, neighbors, family, having to move away because of jobs. Whether it's because of inflation. We have a lot of loss in our small town communities. We have a lot of loss that we'll say Red America feels. And that has inspired a lot of anger and resentment. And I think a lot of times we need to just meet people where they are and lend more understanding and less judgment. And, you know, like I said, it's much better to have conversations than arguments. And you're also able to get people to listen to you more when you're conversing with them and not chastising them or telling them how to think.
Polly, I'm curious, principles first, as if you look at looking at Minnesota politics, especially, I guess, you know, pointing to like the governor's race, which is the most prominent race coming up in November. How do you view that race as a member of this still conservative yet kind of detached from regular Republican views?
Well, I tell you what, if we look around country at other governor's races, Minnesota has it pretty easy. You know, I don't think that Scott Gentz becoming governor would be by any means the end of the world. But Minnesota has not been safe from the silliness. I mean, we have to admit that a lot of what's going on in our politics is silliness. And, you know, you look at, like I said, Pennsylvania, you have Doug Mastriano, who's, you know, he was at the January 6th insurrection. He's a few person. Scott Jensen, as we know of right now, is neither of those things. I think that Minnesota is unique in that our GOP has not completely lost its mind yet. And I would say we've, you know, with our split legislature, we do still have parties that work together. I do think that in November, Minnesota is going to see some Republican numbers pick up. Just that's what happens. And, you know, like I said, with, you know, even being in Cheyenne, a lot of people that have lost things. And with the pandemic, with inflation, like, you know, a lot's working against Democrats right now, especially Democrats who are incumbents.
This is Polly. I thank you for doing what you did, and thank you for answering all of our questions. Polly Calhoun is a member or leader of Principles First Minnesota. She's part of a group of conservatives who went to Wyoming to support Liz Cheney. Just one last question. Does Liz Cheney have any chance today, Polly?
Well, if you ask most pundits, she's going to get roundly defeated. I do not think she's going to get as roundly defeated as people estimate. That's one thing I noted there. There was a lot more Cheney signs than I expected, not as many as I would have liked to have seen, but there were more than I expected. I don't think it's going to be, the polls right now indicate a 20-25 point loss. I think we'll probably see closer to a 10 point loss, but fingers crossed she pulls it out somehow.
Polly, one last question. How many Minnesotans were out there?
I was actually the only one.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe we had a few more, but
we had several from around, several people from around the country, and we had a couple more that were going to go from Minnesota, and then I ended up being the only one able to make the trip. So,
right. Yeah. Well, way to represent Minnesota anyway. That's
yes.
Polly Calhoun, Principles First Minnesota, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. It's 9:48. Stick around. Your chance to win Minnesota Twins tickets possibly next on Twins Ticket Tuesday. There you go. There you go. Time to win some Twins tickets. It's Twins Tickets Tuesday, presented by the fine, fine folks at Miller Marine of St. Cloud. Today, third caller at 651 461-9226 gets a four-pack of tickets for this Sunday versus the Texas Rangers. And doing doing so, you can celebrate Dan Gladden and Cesar Tovar's inductions into the Twins Hall of Fame. First 5,000 fans receive a Twins Hall of Fame pin collectible set, so you want to get there early this Sunday. Again, presented by Miller Marine of St. Cloud. Third caller right now, 651-461-9226, wins those Twins tickets.
How was I the only one dancing to the Twins song? How can you guys not move to the motion of that rockin' song?
Well, I'm a little skeptical because I'm nervous about our Minnesota Twins. Now, they had a stumbled on the road trip. And last night, they fall behind the Kansas City Royals. I was nervous. I said, oh, man, could this be it? We sign all these guys ahead of the trade deadline, and we're losing to the Royals. Well, the Twins came back, beat the Royals last night, 4-2. But they're still 2.5 games back to the Guardians, so they got some work to do if they want to win that American League Central. By the way, Twins and Royals again tonight, 6 o'clock pregame show.
It doesn't mean you can't dance. We can always dance, Adam. Okay,
It's too early to dance.
Let's take you back. Let's take you back to childhood.
Okay,
I would like to know the drink of your childhood.
Oh yeah.
When you were growing up,
scotch,
like, I don't know,
soda. Not scotch and the soda. Mom,
so it's a little bit different in Cheryl's house.
Mom started,
okay,
the
then mine.
Yeah.
Hit me. What was the drink that you remember? Like, you'd come home from school and be stocked in the fridge, and don't tell me water or anything healthy, even milk. What was the drink? I mean, it was the '80s, and you're more '90s, maybe. What was the crap that they used to give us? That was like something they thought something healthy that you look back and say, oh my God, my childhood.
I think, for me, honestly, I can only remember like bad diet pop. My parents would never buy regular pop. So I always had to drink like Pepsi Free or something.
Okay.
And I'd have my friends over and they're like, all you have is diet pop? Man, you suck.
Oh. I'm surprised they didn't love it because, you know, sometimes soda would kill.
Yeah, right.
So, you know. David, what about you? What do you remember?
Well, my parents always wanted to be healthy, but they also wanted to save money. So we would get, like, the frozen juice where you, like, it comes in the frozen can, but you can get 100% juice still, and then you mix it with water. Concentrate, yep. Mm-hmm. And then the bottle calls for, like, you dump it in, and then you fill it up three times with water. And my parents would always do, like, four or four and a half, so it's a little weaker.
Tang.
So we'd drink
Tang. Tang. Mm-hmm. If somebody
what
reminded
about Yoo-hoo?
Yes, Tang. We used to
what
have
about
Tang.
Yoo-hoo? Did you ever...
Yoo-hoo? No,
oh,
we were
Tang
a
is
Yoo-hoo.
Fun, yeah.
Yep, we had Quick. We were old-fashioned. We made our chocolate milk on our own.
Hershey's, oh, okay,
Hershey's
got it. We had the U-Bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Yoo-hoo was a treat. The reason I'm asking is because if you ask my children, they would say, like, Capri Sun. And there's a story today that the Capri Suns have been recalled.
Tainted, yes.
So everybody get the Capri Suns off your shelf right now. Yeah. Kraft Heinz is the maker of Capri Sun. They say the Capri Suns have been diluted with cleaning solution used to clean food processing equipment in its factories, and some got into the wild cherry pouches.
Yuck.
But I'll tell you this, like, oh, and Sunny D. I guess I used to buy that for my kids, maybe because it was cheaper than real juice, and I'm a cheapo.
Yeah.
But I would buy that. And when they go past it in Costco, they're like, oh my God, Sunny D, that's our childhood. And Capri Sun. But it's always a challenge to get the pin in the Capri Sun, you know, the straw in the Capri Sun, and then it would explode. And we all have memories of that.
Hey, Tom is on the phone, Jordana. Tom is a winner of our Twins ticket giveaway.
Oh.
Tom, congratulations, my man. You're going to see Twins and Rangers on Sunday. Your thoughts? Do you think the Twins are going to win the division?
I don't know. It's gonna be tight.
Yes.
You know, they can get on a run.
There you go.
You know, I could see it because they got a good lineup. They just got to get some better pitching, I think.
Yeah, there you go, Tom. Well, you'll be there Sunday. Congratulations, and thank you to the fine folks at Miller Marine of St. Cloud for providing us with Twins Ticket Tuesday. Tom's going to be at the game with three of his best friends. Hey, your Linda's Construction time check. 9:58, time to save on energy costs with a complimentary insulation estimate. Quick takes. We got to get on our toes. That's coming up next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.